me get into the message now today. Let me start off with a couple of questions here. You know, have you ever had anybody in life come across your way that they just sort of bring out the worst in you? I want you to point them out right now. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Dylan back here. Dylan's a first-time guest. He already feels pretty comfortable. He's pointing right at Mickey. And yeah, you know, we do that all the time, though, don't we? We feel like there are certain people that if we're around them, well, I mean, it's just, man, you know, I get around this person and they just bring out the worst in me. But do you have some people that that maybe bring out the best in you? Yes? And, you know, and we often think about that. That's kind of a flaw in our thinking, though, and I really want to kind of discuss that a little bit today. You see, we interact with people all the time. Our lives, our relationships, that's what they are. They're interacting with people. And whether they're coworkers or whether they're bosses or what they are, we have a tendency to, as we walk around life, we bump into people. We have coworkers, we have bosses. How many of you have a little conflict with your boss? You don't want to raise your hands. Yeah, I know. Robert raised his hand. He is his boss. Totally get it. Totally get it. You know, and spouses, and you know, and we're around people, and you know, you go to the little league, and there's a guy that sits behind you. There's that other parent. There's that one guy. There's that coach. There's that, you know, you fill in the blank. And so really, what we do is we go through life, and you know, and we think everything is fine, and we just kind of come up upon people, and then we bump into them, and it's like, what in the world? Where did that come from? Where that person just brings out the worst. I mean, I did choose orange to be the worst in this because that is, you know, a common color of, you know, the Bengals and the Browns. So it is a wicked color in and of itself. But you know, we look at that and we say, man, that person just brings out the worst in me. You know, that person just knows how to get this out of me. That person just knows how to rub me the wrong way. You know, we have all these expressions that we talk about, you know, about people for how this stuff just sort of comes out of me. But the truth of the matter is, it's not that that person has some special ability. The fact of the matter is, that's what comes out of me because that's what's in me. See, if that wasn't in me, it wouldn't come out of me. But we would like to say, well, it's that person that brings out the worst in me. You know, we really don't know what's in us until somebody bumps us. You know, you really don't know who you really are or what's in you until you come into a conflict with somebody that has a tendency to bump you, and then this comes out, and our reaction again is to say, well, boy, it's that person, it's that event, it's my boss, it's my job, it's this, it's that. If my husband would just do this, or if he would stop doing this, or if he would do more of this, or if my wife would just stop this and do this, and we think that, well, every time, you know, because when they do that, that just comes out of me. No, that comes out of you because that's what's in you. That's what's in you. That's what's in me. Now, the thing is, though, there are some people who bump into us, and good things come out. Again, we all said, yeah, I have people who bring out the best in me. And we think, well, man, if I could just spend my time with that person, okay, so if I could just, and a lot of churches think this, well, man, if we could just have all of our people here, you know, just this tight little bunch, you know, us four and no more. And if it just was us, everything would be fine. You know, but boy, we can't bring in any of that kind or this kind or that, or, you know, some people are like, some organizations are like that. Well, if I just get the right people around me, that stuff will never come out of me. Well, that stuff's actually still in you, and eventually that's going to come out. But also, we think, well, but you know, but sometimes people bring out some good things in me. I occasionally have that. So there's really two possibilities, and one is that it really could be those people. I mean, it's possible that there are people with this magical ability, I mean, this incredible supernatural ability to reach into you and just bring out those good words, bring out those good deeds, bring out that kindness. It could be that. Or it could be that there's something wrong inside of you and me. So we go to the scriptures to find out which that is. And so we'll begin with James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. And by the way, the title of my message is The Heart of My Problem. So we'll get right into the book of James now. So the book of James, in chapter number 4, James is telling us, and he asks a question, but it's really not a question, it's kind of a rhetorical question because he answers it. Notice what he says. He says, from where come wars and fightings among you? All right, so he says, so Where does this come from? When you bump into people, why do you have these conflicts with people? Why do you have these bad relationships? Why do you have this person I'm always fighting with, and this person I'm always arguing with, and this person just gets on my nerves, and this person does this, and don't play with that, Dwayne. And, well, he stuck his foot, he's sitting right in front of me, and he's doing this, like he's reaching with his foot, because he wants that. You just bring out the worst in me, man. What was I talking about? You got me completely distracted. Seriously, what was I talking about? I was talking about something. Oh, I was on the verse, yeah. Well, let's go to the Bible. That's always a good place. So he said, where's this stuff come from? Why do you have these conflicts with people? He said, don't they really just come from your lust? That's the thing that you love, the things that are inside of you that you want, your desires, your agendas, he said, that are warring inside of you. He said, the problem's not with him. Now, he has problems, but the problem's not with him. He said, he's not the reason you act the way you act. He's not the reason, he doesn't bring that out of you. That's already in you. There's a fighting going on inside of you, and that's where these things come from. These things are coming from inside you. Now, I don't know about you. I don't really care for that. I'd rather it was Dwayne. I mean, I'd rather, and it's much more believable for me to think that it's Dwayne's the problem. And so I'm going to go to a higher authority because, I don't know, James is only the half-brother of Jesus. James is sort of he got stuck clear at the end of the Bible. I mean, he's like in the third to the last book, so he can't really know a whole lot. So I'm going to go right to Jesus, and we'll see what Jesus has to say about it. So we go to the book of Luke. We can ask Jesus the same question. You know, Jesus, there's these people that just bring out the worst in me, and there's people that bring out the best in me. Jesus, isn't the problem with them? Well, here was Jesus' response to people who asked him basically that question. He said, well, a good man, well, thank you, Jesus. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. That's what I thought. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So Jesus sort of takes it a whole step up. I mean, James was bad enough when he said, hey, look, your problem with these guys, your problem with those guys, your problem with your spouse, your problem with your children, your problem with this, your problem with that, it's not them. The problem's within you. You got a war going on inside of you. Jesus takes it up another level, and he says, the problem is you've got a good man inside of you and an evil man inside of you. Because if you've ever said something evil, he said that's an evil man, right? You don't believe that. You're calling Jesus a liar? I mean, can we do that? No, he said, if you have some evil things come out of your mouth, he said, that comes from an evil man. That's evil treasure in your heart. So we have both of these things. And Jesus is saying, once again, though, he said, the problem's not there. The problem. Now, if you're a theologian, you know, like me, I've been to the cemetery. And you know, so I'm a theologian, and I know some Greek and some Hebrew and all that, and I know that James was a Jew, and he was talking to Jews, and Jesus was a Jew, and he was talking to Jews, and so we live in the church age, so I'm going to appeal to the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul was the man given the authority from Jesus to speak to the church. So if we go to the Apostle Paul and say, you know, Paul, is the problem me, or is the problem with somebody else? Is the problem with those people who bring out the best in me or the worst in me? Is that what it is? And so Paul would take us and he said, well, you know, I wrote a chapter called Romans chapter 7. And in that I said, I was kind of telling you about my struggles. And my struggles are this. He said, you know, the things that I know I'm supposed to do, I end up not doing. And the things I know I'm not supposed to do, that's what I end up doing. Sorry, Phyllis. Bad choice for where to throw that. He said, I don't know why those things come out of me. He said, I don't want them to come out of me. I don't want to say those things. I don't want to do those things. I don't want to be unkind to that person. That's not what I intend to do. He said, but man, it just seems to come out of me. He said, because I know the law of good. I know the law of right. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. He said, but I see another law warring in my members. That means in my body. Warring against the war of my mind. So again, the Apostle Paul says, the problem's with you, stupid. The problem's not with, that's the Greek. The problem's with you. You have to be a theologian to know that. But he said, you know, the problem's with you. He said, the problem's not with, there's nobody bringing out the good in you, and there's nobody bringing out the bad in you. The problem is, there's already bad in you, and there's good in you. Now, if we're going to disagree with that, then we have to disagree with the Apostle Paul and Jesus and James and so on. So here's my question then. So husbands, when you speak unkindly to your wife, can it really be her fault? Wow. I need some ladies up here with me about now. Can it really be her fault? I mean, is it her that brings that out of you?
Thank you, Ken.
You know, wives, you know, when you, well, but you just don't know my husband. I just told you what Jesus said. I told you what Paul said. I told you what James said. They all agreed the problem's not in that other person. That problem is not, it's not that those people are bringing that out of you. The problem is that's what's already in you. And when it's in you, it's going to come out. And it's going to come out oftentimes against, you know, why does it come out so much times against people, you know, husbands and wives and parents and children? Well, my children just make me crazy. No, Jesus said you're already crazy. You are crazy for having them. So, you know, your children, yeah, that was Rob. Your children don't bring out the worst in you. Well, if they would just do this, and if they would just do that, and if they would just, yeah, I know, just like if the husband would just do this, and the wife would just do this, if my boss would just do this, I wouldn't have to do this. And he said, Jesus said, no. He said, the problem's with you. The problem is that's what's in you. You know, and you know, boyfriends and girlfriends and live-togethers and all of you, you know, I know some of you, what? Live-togethers. You wicked and sinful. Huh. Look, you know, I know, you know, boyfriends, you know, people often say, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, I just have terrible taste in men. I just have terrible taste in women. Why is that? Well, because it seems like every woman I've ever dated, just they always seem to eventually find a way to get on my nerves, and then I have to... Sorry, Sarah. You just brought that out of me. I just, it's the hair. It's the hair. You know, we, you know, recovering hope members. Is there, don't answer. But is there that one that when they're in the group, it's always this and it's always that. And boy, I just have to get up and walk away. You know, is it, you know, worship team and, you know, children's workers? Well, it's just that one boy. Boy, if it wasn't for that kid, if it wasn't for that one, and actually, that's actually true. So, you know, we really want somebody to blame, don't we? We really want to not be responsible for what comes out of our mouths. We would like to be able to say, it's so-and-so that brings this, it's so-and-so that makes me angry, that brings this anger out of me. And no, you know, really, it's just life. It's just bumping into people. So the question then this morning is, so what can we do about it? I mean, what can we do? How can we fix this? How do we stop all this stuff from coming out of us? How do we stop these fights among ourselves, and how do we get this peace in our homes, and how do we get this peace among our friends and within ministries and at work and all these things? Well, for that, we can actually go back to the Old Testament, and we'll get some help from a man called Solomon. Now, Solomon was, and by the way, this is all about the condition of the heart. I'll show you that here in just a minute. But let's leave Jesus and James and all those New Testament guys, and let's go back to the book of Solomon, because Solomon was probably the most patient man in the world. And he had to be. Do you know why? Kaylin knows why. That's why she's giggling. He had 1,000 wives. Can you imagine how much of this was in him? Can you guys imagine 1,000 honey-do lists? You're never watching a football game. I mean, that's never going to happen. In your lifetime, you'll never watch a football game. You'll never get to do anything. besides that, 1,000 wives. But Solomon was called the wisest man who ever lived, and God gave him an abundance of wisdom. And I just have to believe in my mind that came after the wives thing. I know it didn't, but that's the one place in the Bible that I think is a typo. Because, I mean, really, nobody that's that wise would marry 1,000 women. And so, or 1,000 men, for that matter. This is 2017. So Solomon, though, is somebody that we can go to, and we'll ask him what to do about this. So let's take a look at Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 23. And Solomon is giving his son some wisdom, knowing that his son has the same stuff in him that Solomon has. And he says, son, guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Now, what he means is that word guard, it means that. It means a guard is careful about what comes in and what goes out. Guard tries to protect from wrong things coming in and make sure that the wrong things don't get out and making sure the good things can come in. That's what a guard does. And he says, you've got to guard your heart. You must guard your heart. Because what happens when we don't guard our heart is it gets full of this. It gets full of those things that we don't want to come out. But when we don't guard our heart, they come in. They just come in automatically. They come in. They fill it up, and our heart is full. And of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's this is why these things come out of us. And we say, well, man, I don't know where that came from. Well, it's simple, because you didn't guard your heart, and you let your heart fill up with all this stuff, and that's why it comes out. And it comes out in all the times when you've bumped into somebody. And so he said, you must guard your heart. Here's why. Because, he said, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it come all of the, look at the next word, issues of life. Issues of life. We have issues. We say it, don't we? We have issues. You got issues, and I got issues, you know, we have these issues. You know, we oftentimes say, well, you know, how many of you know somebody who has issues? Raise your hand. Do you know we are all incredibly gifted to see the issues in other people? Did you know that? Oh, I mean, I can spot it. I mean, I'm like, I'm 20-20. 20-20 on your issues. I know exactly what your problem is. I know exactly what you're doing wrong at work. I know exactly what you're doing wrong in your life. I know exactly what you're doing wrong with your money. I know exactly how you're parenting wrong and how you're doing this wrong and how you're doing. I am dialed in on your issues. And you are dialed in on my issues. You can see in me the flaws. You can see my character flaws. You can see where I make a mistake. You can see how full my pitcher is. I wish that was a real golf ball. I'd have hit you with that totally. Totally. Big Harold. We have this uncanny ability to know other people's issues, to know the problems, to see what you can clearly see what's going on with me. You know, and the problem is the same heart that controls what comes out of me, the same heart that controls these things in me that makes me put these things out, you know, that causes me to let these things come out, is the same heart that then tells me I don't have a problem. You see, I you're right now, you're sitting there and you're saying, your heart is saying, well, or you're saying to your heart, you're saying to your spirit, you're saying, boy, is this right? I mean, do I really have those issues? And you know what your heart's doing? Your heart's going, no. He's not talking to you. He's talking to the guy next to you. He's talking to Donna Shaw. Clearly. Everybody knows that. It's that shovel thing. You know, I'm putting it out here and you're taking it and shoveling it to the guy behind you. That's your heart. Your heart is saying, well, no, he's not talking to you. See, because the same heart that causes us to have all this stuff in the first place in abundance, the abundance of the heart, is lying to you and me, and it tells us we don't have those kind of problems. It's just hard for us to see these problems in ourselves, and so it deceives us into thinking about that. So how do we force our heart to be more honest? How do we fix this? How do we say, okay, so my heart's a liar, according to Jeremiah 17, and I can't help that. My heart is a liar. My heart lies to me. Your heart lies to you. It's hard for us to see our own flaws. How do we fix that? Well, we can continue on and allow Solomon to teach us. So let's continue. Let's just talk through the rest of the passage here. There's four verses. And let's see what his suggestion is. He said, verse 24, he said, put away from you a froward mouth. That's kind of an old English word that means inappropriate. Put away from you an inappropriate mouth. Can I just ask everybody, can we put away an inappropriate mouth? No, like I'm not a prude. I don't think. I'm not, I wouldn't know it. My heart, am I a prude?
No.
Not you. I like to have fun. You know, I do. I like to have fun. And you have to be a little edgy to have fun. That's a fact. So, I know some of you said, what does that mean? What do you mean by that? But we need to be careful about being appropriate. There's some appropriateness that is seriously lacking in our world. And it's lacking in Christianity. He said, look, put away some of that from your mouth. Put away that inappropriate stuff. And perverse lips put far from you. He said, look, you need to be careful what you say. You need to be careful how you talk. Now, I know we think that we're talking about just, you know, right now, but let me just give you a truth here, and you're going to laugh when I say it probably, but and think that it's kind of dumb. But do you want to be more positive? Then start being more positive. In fact, they're, nope. No, not really. I like this guy. He's a keeper, Mickey. You want to be more positive? Then start being more positive. Look, I don't know any way to say it. Start being more positive. Start saying more positive things on purpose. It's the same principle. Can we just have a little financial clinic right now? Again, I'm not an expert on that. I'm not holding myself out as a good example, but here, if you want to get out of debt, let me tell you how to do that. You ready? I promise you this will work. I guarantee you this will work. Spend less today than you make. And tomorrow, spend less than you make. And the day after that, spend less than you make, and we will eventually get out of debt. Now, that's pretty simple, right? All right. In our regular lives now, if he's saying, if you want to get rid of some of this, if you don't want to have so much of this to have to deal with, if you don't want all this stuff coming out of you all the time, then start watching how you talk. Now, that seems simple. But he said, you know, if you'll start being a little bit more positive, if you'll start being a little bit kinder, watch how you talk. You know, watch, it changes you and the people around you. You know, last night at Experience Hope, I used a different passage to kind of, this was a similar topic that I preached last night, but a different direction. I used a different passage where Jesus actually was talking about, he said, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It was the passage where he was talking about, they were railing on washing the hands. He said, look, you got it all wrong. He said, it is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. In fact, I know it's Sunday morning, but let me go ahead and give you the summary. Those that were here, I won't go into great detail like I did last night. But he said, look, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, don't you know that what goes into your mouth goes into your stomach, and then you expel that out of your body? He said, that is called waste. He said, you get rid of that. He said, the problem is when you put something into your body, and it goes to your heart, and then your heart sends it back out of your mouth. Now get that image in your head. That's what negative talk is. And we need to cut that stuff out. We need to stop letting what's supposed to go the other direction come back out of our mouths. Right? So he said, Jesus said, you know, he said, it's not what goes into your mouth, it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles who? Whom? He said it defiles you. It doesn't defile. Now, will it defile the people around you? Yeah. I showed a puking video last night, just so y'all know. That scene from Lean On, Stand By Me, where the kid puked all the pies. And did it defile the people around him? Did it defile the people? Sure. Yeah. But it defiled him too. And Jesus was saying, look, you think it only defiles the people around you. When you talk about somebody, when you're unkind to somebody, you think you, oh, I got them, man. You here, let me tell you what I said to him. Let me tell you what I said to that stupid blah, 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 blah. Here's what I said. I got him good. No, you defiled you more than you defiled him. That comment that you made, that's what is defiling us. That's what's filling that bucket right there. Not the things you're thinking about, the things you say. Because the things we say, does the Bible not talk about in the same book of James that giant ships are controlled by a very small rudder? Very small rudder. And he said, that's your tongue. Your tongue is that little rudder that guards, that moves your whole body. You go where your mouth goes. You don't believe me? Any fishermen in the room? You fish? You fish? Do fish go where their mouths go? They do, don't they? We hook them in the mouth because they go where their mouths go, and so do people. And Satan's got hooks in some of our mouths and has taken us different places and getting us to say things and unkind things. How we talk on a normal basis is defiling us, and it's filling this up. And, you know, Christian, how you speak to your coworkers is going to affect how you speak to your family at home. Because you're defiling yourself with the unkindness and the mean spirit and all those things when we do those things. And look, and I'm as bad as anybody. Look, I have to work on what's happening inside my car. I have to work on what comes out of my mouth. When some of you get in that left-hand lane and refuse to drive the speed you're supposed to drive. That's right. That is. You say, well, I go the speed limit. That's not what that lane's for. It's not. Josh, am I right about that? That lane is for at least 10 miles above the speed limit, and now you straighten up about that. You're bringing out the worst in me when I get behind you. You're causing me to sin before Almighty God by driving in that left-hand lane and not driving fast enough. I have to work on that because, you know, everybody who does what I just described is an idiot. At least according to what I say. And that's a problem because they can't hear me and I'm not defiling them. I'm defiling me. And I really am. I'm defiling me. Because when I call people idiots, it does change me a little bit. Not for the better. I was joking a little bit, but in all seriousness, it does affect me. It makes me a little bit more negative. And that's not okay with God. And it shouldn't be okay with me. And I need to stop that. And I need to tone that down. And I need to work on that. And there are things you need to work on too. We need to be careful about what we say just on a regular basis. How we speak. I said, if you want to be a more positive person, then speak more positively on purpose. If you want to be kinder, speak kindly on purpose. I'm not talking about when you get bumped. Those things come out when we get bumped. I'm talking about the rest of the time, just as we're going about life. But some of us, somebody's not even doing anything to us and we're mad. See? And you can keep those, by the way. I don't want that stuff anymore. I don't want those anymore. So let me wrap this up. So you know, negativism breeds more negativism. It never breeds positivism. Some of you kid me and you make fun of me because I'm the eternal optimist. Because I always see the best and I always think, in this, you know, that's going to be fine, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine. No, no, she didn't mean it that way, he didn't mean it that way. You're always looking at me like, dude, you're so stupid. You're so gullible. Thank you, Ken. I have handlers. I have a deacon board. I have Ken and Kim. I have Hope, Help for the Shadow. These are all my handlers that make up for my naivete. But it's really not so much that. It's just that, man, I just can't live in that negativity. I just can't. I have to think the best and let you abuse me because if I get into that negativity, then it will affect every other part of my life. See, and I don't want that. You know, verse 25. Let's finish this up. Verse 25. You've been wonderful this morning to let me be stupid here. Let your eyes look right on. Right on. Let your eyes look right on. Don't you love the way the Bible says things sometimes? Let your eyes look right on and look straight before you. You know what that means? Stop looking at my stuff and look at your own stuff. It means you do you and I'll do me. Okay? You do you. You got issues. I got issues. You worry about your issues. I worry about my issues. That's all he said. He said, look, if you spend all your time looking at everybody else's issues, if you spend all your time diagnosing and saying, well, man, you know, boy, Denasia's a messed up kid. Phew. She got issues. You know what's really funny? You know what's really funny, though? See, there's some of you ladies, time out. There's some of you ladies, and I say ladies, I know it's stereotyping, I get it. Can't do that these days, Pastor. Well, sorry. But some of you ladies, you get your friends together and you're talking about your boyfriends or your husbands, like, well, he just did this and he just did this and I just can't believe it. And you, to their faces, you're saying, oh, I just can't believe he did that to you. That's amazing, you know. And then you go back to your husbands and you say, wait till you hear what so-and-so... I mean, he did this, but wow, her reaction was crazy. I mean, she's got issues. You won't tell your friends. And I think you go back to your husbands and tell them that so that you're hoping they're going to say, oh man, I'm glad I'm married to you, baby. Now, men, honestly, men don't really do that. I mean, if men come in, if I say, you know, Dwayne, man, my wife was doing this, and he said, dude, you're an idiot. There's nothing wrong with what she's doing. Stop being such an idiot. You know, but we tend to look at everybody else's stuff. You know, we want to judge everybody else's stuff. And he said, just don't do that. He said, you know, when you judge other people, you don't change them. Has anybody ever changed anybody by judging them? Have you ever set somebody down and set them straight and they said, oh, thank you so much. Why couldn't I see that? I love you for yelling at me like that and helping me with that and telling me how stupid I am. Nobody, you don't ever change anybody, but you do change you by focusing on all their stuff. Verse 26 kind of goes without saying. Ponder the path of your feet. He said, look, what are you going to plan to do today? What are you planning to do today? Where are your feet going to take you today? Who are you going to hang out with? You got to go, let all your ways be established. You're gonna be careful about where you go and who you're with. That's all he said. He said, look, don't go to that person's house if you know what's going to happen there. Yeah, don't go do that. You know, what are you planning to do today? You plan to go hit some weed with somebody today? Pansy, I asked you a question. Oh my goodness. Now listen, I understand. Look, I'm just going to say this, and then I'm going to move on. Marijuana, I'm just going to say this. If marijuana were sold in a pill prescribed by a doctor, I got no problem with that. What I do have a problem with is some of you who are self-medicating that way and getting other people to do it with you. Well, I know what you need. I mean, I've had a doctor one time tell me that this will help me do something so. Okay, that was a doctor on TV, or a doctor on the internet of the Spaghetti Monster Church, whatever that thing is. I'm just saying, you do you, that's fine. But don't try to get other people to do it with you. Don't help other people self-medicate. God can help you with that too. Let's make sure God's involved in that too. Okay, time back in. So who do you hang out with? That's what he's saying there. Verse 27. He said, turn not to the right hand or the left, remove your foot from evil. Here, let me translate that. He said, go to work and then go home. Go to church and then go home. Go to work and go home to your family. Don't stop by, I'm going to stop by for a little unwinding time. That's fine. You're entitled to do that. But, he said, this is how you fill this thing up. You fill this thing up with all that junk when you put junk in there and it goes right to your heart. And he said, you really need to guard your heart. So our opening illustration was, we have both of these things in us. The reason that we think certain people bring it out in us is usually just because our heart is already inclined. You see, I'm expecting Dwayne to tick me off. And so he does. Now, this is nothing. Dwayne just sits here. That's just where he's sitting. He's taking Tom's place. It's really Tom that ticks me off. I'm going into this thing expecting him to be that way. My heart is already inclined toward this. I've already got those negative words and those hateful words and all that stuff. That's called prejudice. I've already got those negative things ready. I'm planning to be offended. Please stop planning to be offended. Our world is planning to be offended. Amen. Every segment of our society wakes up every day, it seems, planning to be offended. Just wait till the president says the wrong thing or tweets the wrong thing or tweets something stupid and I'm going to be offended by that. Or this group, Black Lives Matter, is going to offend me, or White Lives Matter is going to offend me, or whatever, all these things. We need to stop planning to be offended. let's just do ourselves. You do you, I'll do me. And let's let Jesus tell us, hey, look, I gave you two commandments. It's really simple. Love God and love your neighbor. It's that simple. And Solomon said, thank you. And Solomon said, if you'll just get rid of some of this stuff, get rid of all this negative stuff, then your interactions with people, you're going to bump into people. But it'll be a whole lot more of spreading some of that good stuff when you, oh, man, you just bring out the best in me. You are so kind. You're so kind with your words. How are you like that all the time? You know, I think about Kip Boggs. I could bring Kip Boggs up onto this platform and I could slap him across the face. That's all I wanted to say about that. No. But I could. And you know, not only would he not hit me back, but he would have something kind to say to me. He just would. It's who he is. It's just who he is. But it didn't just happen. He's had his share of some of this trying to come into his life. But instead, he guarded his heart and he decided, this is all I want in there. This is all I want. And so he just works at it every day. We all need to do the same thing. Let's bow our heads. And our Father, we thank you.